Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." What a powerful statement. Now, amen. Believing, not just mental assent, but believing. Okay? And then he says, on the heels of that, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." You can be seated. I'm teaching this morning, and by the help and grace of God, I got my seatbelt on. I'm going to stay right here behind this pulpit. Amen. The subject I want to teach on this morning, well, not the subject, but the title of this lesson, "The Danger of the Clenched Fist." The danger of the clenched fist. You know, I think that the clenched fist, they made it a banner or a flag or something. It was called Brown Power. Now, what that is, I haven't the foggiest idea, so don't charge me with anything. I just heard that word somewhere, okay? But the clenched fist was a symbol of anger and resistance. Now, I did see a picture. You know I like to play golf. I did see a picture of Tiger Woods when he made a good score. That's different than this. It's a little difference in elevation, but it stands for a different thing. This was an exaltation. In fact, the other day I was playing with Brother Goff, with Brother Anderson, there's a particular hole on that golf course. You have to knock the ball over a canyon, and then you got it. It's like a big L type deal. It's 500 and something yards, and it's a par 5. If you make par on that hole, it's really, you did a good job. But on that particular day, I made it in. I made an eagle on that hole, which is a birdie is 1 under par, an eagle is 2 under par, and so, man, what an exaltation! And lo and behold, Brother Anderson did the same thing, and it was, boy, we were hopping up and down. So, yeah, okay. Now, many years ago, the danger of a clenched fist. Now, when we're going through a test and a trial of our life, how many have seen the picture of the cat on the clothesline? He's got his chin over. You know, sometimes in life, when we're going through difficulties, we just gotta hang on, tie a knot in the end of the rope, and hang on till the trouble is past, and then we can climb up. Amen. But many years ago, I was trying to think about how many years ago, and I'm afraid to tell you. I read one of the, what I consider, of course I haven't read that much, but to me, I was impressed, one of the great American novels. And it was called Where the Red Fern Grows. How many's read the book? I understood it was made into a movie. I don't know a thing about that, but I do know. And I'm going to confess to you that the ending of that book, this old hard-hearted guy cried. When little Ann crawls upon the grave of big old Dan and dies, that just got to me, because I'm an animal lover myself. But the setting of this book, in fact, I preached a revival in the town where that movie was made. It was made in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, on the Illinois River, was where they filmed that movie. And Tahlequah, Oklahoma, by the way, is the capital of the Cherokee Nation. And a friend of mine pastors there now. But the setting of the book was, I think, back in the Depression time. And there was a little boy. I'm not going to tell you the story, just the part I'm interested in at this point. There was a little boy that found a sports magazine in a fishing camp. He used to go to the fishing camp and sell things to the fishermen to raise a little bit of money. And they left behind a sports magazine. And in that sports magazine, he saw an advertisement for Redbone Hounds. And so he started saving his pennies and so forth in a fruit jar until he got enough money to buy two Redbone Hound pups. And he had to travel by foot. And when he got those pups at the train station, he carried them home in a tow sack. And his goal was he wanted to be a coon hunter. That's a raccoon. Now, I'm from the country, and so we don't say raccoons. We say coons, and we're talking about a raccoon. And so he had this ambition to hunt coons. And so he got these two little puppies, and he was perplexed. He didn't have a way to train these little puppies to hunt coons. I thought about this the other day when I was at Sister Fisher's house. I saw those little puppies out there. They are so cute. Oh, man, they're so cute. Nice velvety ears. Oh, anyway. So he went to his grandfather and said, How am I going to get I need a coon skin to... He was training the pup, so he drugged the coon skin around all over the place and hid it. And then the little dogs were to follow the scent until they could find the coon, because he wanted to go hunting and catch coons. And he didn't have a coon skin to use to train his pups. And so this is to the gist of my lesson this morning. His grandfather said, "We'll get you a coon." He said, "Well, how?" And so he took him out into the woods, and they found a log. You that have read the story, you're already ahead of me. But they drilled a small hole in this log. And they took shiny bits of metal and dropped it down in the hole. And then it wasn't a big hole. It was just a hole big enough that a coon... Coons are very curious, I'm telling you. They are very curious. And his grandfather said, "Well, put the shiny bits of metal in here." And then they drove nails in on an angle into that hole, but it's such a way that the coon could still get his hand in there, or his paw in there. And he said, "How are we going to catch a coon like this?" He said, "Because the coon will reach in there and get those shiny pieces of metal in his hand. And then because he clenches his hand into a fist, he can't pull his hand back out because the nails, and he will not let go. All he has to do to be free is let go. And then he can pull his hand out." And hence the chorus I mentioned this morning: let go. And let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your nights turn to day. If you let go. Let go. And so I want to teach this morning about forgiveness. The danger of the clenched fist. You can hold on to things and they'll kill you. You can hold on to things that may be unfair. They may be unrighteous that it happened. It may be wrong that it happened. But if you hold on to it, it will kill you. Spiritually, not so much Well, it could kill you physically, but I don't want to go into that. And so when we think today of forgiveness, we automatically, at least I automatically, think of the greatness of God's love that He forgave me of my sins. Been a lot of blessings in my life. The Holy Ghost is wonderful. It's great. That's the greatest gift of all. But when one of the things that is so powerful in our lives, or at least I don't know how you look at it, but I'm just talking about myself, is that God was so merciful, so kind, so gracious, that He forgave all my sins. And not only that, but since July the 7th, 1964, till what's today, the 16th, 15th, 17th of September the 17th, 2017, how many times have I needed God to forgive me? How many times have I gone to Him and said, Lord, I need You to forgive me? And you know what? I am assured, I am confident, I am positive, from on the basis of God's eternal Word, that when I came to Him for forgiveness, I immediately got forgiveness. Do you know what it feels like when the Lord forgives you? I mean, it's a tremendous, it's an awesome feeling to know that it's gone. There's another song that says, thank God my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from night, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Thank God my sins are gone. I don't know if you've ever... I'm dating myself. It's real old. But we can't help but go there. Now let me read, just give you some scriptures. You can write them down. Psalm 103, verse 3, it starts off, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His many benefits. Verse 3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. ETH means He continues to forgive. Okay. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Another verse says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Amen, amen, amen. Another verse that is very important is 1 John 1 and 9 says, this is after baptism, and when we're water baptized, all our past sins are blotted out. Revelation 1:5 says He's washed us from our sins in His own blood. He shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins. So when we're baptized in the name of Jesus, we're baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And that's because the blood of Christ is applied when the name of Jesus is called over us. Praise God. But 1 John 1:9 is speaking about after baptism. It says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. Get those words. To cleanse us from all transgression or iniquity. All right. In the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus you're familiar with what I'm going to say. There's nothing new coming out of this today, but I just felt so powerfully impressed of the Lord. I've been meditating on these verses for a couple of weeks. The text today, when you stand praying, forgive. And initially, when something like that comes to me, I apply to myself. So I've been spending some time saying, now, Lord, search out. My heart's deceitful like everybody else's, and I need you to try the reins of my heart. Is there somebody I need to forgive? And so I spent a couple of weeks praying that prayer. Is there somebody? You know, he talked to me when you stand praying, forgive. So I said, oh, God, it's me. And so I've spent a couple of weeks praying over that, asking God to try my heart to reveal to me. And so I took it personally that he was speaking to me. But after a period of time, I began to realize it was for a lesson some point in time. And so here we are tonight, today. In Luke 17, starting with one verse, it says, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. That offenses will come. So, there's no escaping it. It's inevitable. At some point in time, every one of us in here are going to be offended. Now, it's not a good thing to be offended. But it's inescapable that something is going to happen. I don't care if you're in a church of 10,000 members. That just increases the odds you're going to be offended. If there's two of you, that's 50. You're going to be offended. Something is going to happen. Okay, so it's part of life. It goes with life. And so Jesus said to them, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But it also says something else. But woe unto him through whom the offense comes, whom they come. So it's a two-edged sword here. The person that offends is in trouble, and the person that gets offended is in trouble. Okay. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against... I'm in the wrong chapter, I think. Anyway, yeah, I got ahead of myself. Excuse me. I want to go to the 11th chapter. I made a scribbly note this morning. It was unclear. Anyway, we'll come back to that verse, I promise you. In Luke 11, 1 through 4, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And what follows is what is called the model prayer. He says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this, what is entitled, is the Lord's Prayer. The Catholic Church incorporated it in the Mass, or the Rosary. And they got the beads, there's so many numbers on them, and da 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 da. And they pray the rosary, they count the beads. There's so many beads for Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's so many beads for Hail Mary, full of grace. Now, the Lord never initiated that. It is a man-made deal. In fact, most people don't know how to pray, but they did hear, they were taught the Lord's Prayer. I've read of soldiers in times of danger. They would pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or over a comrade that fell, they didn't know how to do a funeral service, and so they would just pray the Lord's Prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would not criticize that. But it was not, that's not, the model prayer is, we start off with worship and da-da-da-da-da-da-da and go on through it. I don't have time for that. But notice part of the model prayer is, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So what Jesus is teaching us, that part of our prayer life, we may have a shopping list of things we want God to do, but we must always stop by the gate of forgiveness. And forgive. What does it mean to forgive? Let go. If we hold on to things, we're like the coon in the trap. The clenched fist of unforgiveness will kill you. It will bring untold misery in your life. In fact, it can make you physically ill, because it will generate stress, frustrations. And I'll say this right now. It will make you angry. But I want to tell you something. The clenched fist of anger has a shelf life. It will turn. It will morph into bitterness. And bitterness will morph into hatred. And he that hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life. So this is serious business today. Clenched fist. The danger of the clenched fist. And so in the model prayer, forgive us sins as we also forgive those that are indebted to us. Then in Luke 17, I started reading there, and I just got ahead of myself. Jesus went on to say, in verse 17:3, he said, take heed, that means pay attention to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Now that doesn't mean punch him out. It doesn't really mean to be angry and get in his face. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It just simply says, simply, you offended me. That hurt my feelings. Not go off and tell Sister Jones that Charlie offended me. Or put it on Facebook. Just go to the brother and say, you offended me. And when he repents, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Then Jesus says, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, notice the response of the apostles. I ain't no apostle. I don't think anybody in here is an apostle. There's only 12. Well, there's more than that. Let's get off of that. There's apostles today. We call them missionaries. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Think about that for a minute. Do you understand that forgiveness requires faith? It is an act of faith. Faith is obedience to what God says. Right? Amen. And so, the apostles got it right off. Well, one of them said, well, now, Lord, somebody offends me 7 times in one day. Jesus said, if somebody offends you 7 times in one day, and 7 times in that day comes back and said, I repent. I'm sorry. Thou shalt forgive him. And then the disciples or the apostles said, God, Lord, increase our faith. And so there's an element of faith involved in forgiveness. Can you say amen? Okay, now let's go back to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Is this too loud? Okay. Am I going too slow? Too bad. I have to go slow. All right. Now, I'm the one that's got the under the clock business today. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 21, Peter said, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now, Jesus had just taught earlier, seven times in a day, and if he repents, forgive him. And now Peter comes off and says, well, how often or how many times? till seven times, Lord? You know, at the eighth time, pow! You get, you know, that little black book you got in your back pocket or in your purse is going to kill you. I got to get back over here. It's going to kill you. And so Peter was keeping score. Well, that's six, buddy. You're getting close to the border. And so Peter's, he thinks he's being generous. Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. When I went to school, that's 490 times. Now that doesn't mean 489, you're drawn back. Or after that, you got a license to be clenching your fist. It's just a large number. It's pretty hard to be offended 490 times in a day. Unless you live on a fin street. You know, I mean, you know, I can't imagine somebody offending another person 490 times. But so the number is not important. The lesson is important. That we're not to keep score. We're not to keep tally. We're not to... So let me get out my list. No! I've run across people that got a laundry list of things that happened 20 years ago. And they're not a happy person. They're frowning. They're not pleasant to be around because you're on pins and needles. Well, my God, if they held on back 20 years ago, what are they going to do today? Their memory's fresher now than then. You know, what am I going to do? And so you're on eggshells or pins and needles. You're afraid to say, give an opinion about anything because, my God, they're going to be offended and then they're going to be angry and it's going to be my fault. And so, where was I? And so Jesus said 70 times 7. And then Jesus illustrated what he really meant. You see, Jesus told parables, which are earthly stories. They're made up. But they illustrate a spiritual truth. Okay? An earthly story that teaches a heavenly lesson. And so Jesus says there was a king that took account of his servants. He got out the balance sheet, the books. And he found out this one servant owed him 10,000 talents. And he said, he brought him to, he confronted him and said, on the books it says you owe 10,000 talents. Pay up. And he could not pay. A talent is 75 pounds. That's the best number I could find. It's, you look anywhere, it's all variable, but the best I could find was 75 pounds. You know, gold is $1,200 an ounce. So if he owed 10,000 talents, there's 16 ounces in a pound. He owed a lot of money. I read in one translation, millions and millions. And he said, okay, you can't pay. I'm taking you, your wife, and your kids. They're going to be sold. Everything you own is going to be sold, and I'm going to put you in prison because you can't pay the debt. And the Bible says the man fell at his feet and said, have mercy on me, and I will pay thee all. And it said he had compassion on him and forgave him the debt. You owed me 10,000 talents. You don't owe me anything. How would you feel if you got a note in the mail, everybody that's got a mortgage, and they said, we just like you so much, you don't owe us anything. I had a pastor friend in California. He told me, I think the church owed, the building owed, they owed $700,000 on the building. What a load for a pastor to carry in a congregation. And he said, Brother Allred, somebody walked up to me and gave me a check for $700,000. And our church is paid for. Wow. This man owed 10,000 talents and could not pay. And the man frankly forgave him. Okay. 10,000 talents he owed. As soon as that weight was off his shoulders, he went to a fellow servant that owed him 100 pence. Just a few dollars. And he grabbed him by the neck and said, pay me what you owe. And the man fell at his feet, said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. But he would not, and he cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. Now, Jesus is talking about forgiveness here, 70 times 7, 490 done. And then the king heard about what this servant that he had forgiven 10,000 talents of debt worth, what he did to the guy that owned him, owed him only a few dollars. And he said, come here. You wicked servant. I forgave you all this debt. And you didn't. You couldn't reciprocate on a little bit. The Bible says, he said, turn him over to the tormentors. They tortured people in jail in those days. Turn him, put him in jail and give him over to the tormentors till he has paid the debt. This 10,000 talents was back in play because he wouldn't release a man from 100 pence. Do you see? Jesus is teaching on forgiveness. The need of it. He said, we're going to be offended, so get ready for that. Don't go hunting for it. It'll find you. You don't have to find it. It'll find you. And then Jesus sums this up, this whole story. Let me read you Jesus' summation after he tells this story. Well, it says he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Then Jesus gives the conclusion or the lesson. So likewise, in verse 35, Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. The man was turned over to the tormentors, but the clenched fist will turn you over to the tormentors. Your anger will torment you. Your unforgiveness, my unforgiveness. I'm not saying you. You remember that if I do like that, there's three more pointing back at me. If I don't forgive people their trespasses, and I've been trespassed against, I know how it hurts. I know how it feels. I know what it means to be trespassed against. I know what it means to be betrayed. I know what it means to be offended. Listen, the worst offense is the people that you're closest to will offend you the worst. And it's due to that closeness that it hurts more. Now, Charlie down the street, 10,000 miles away, no matter. You don't even remember him down the street. But those close by, those ones you see day by day, that's the ones, if you got the clenched fist, will hurt you, and you'll hurt yourself. Your fist will get locked in that position. Like the coon in the trap, all you got to do is... And so, here it is. And so, Jesus' summation, this is a key. I want you to hold this, and I'm just about done. The key is... from your heart. In the Bible, the heart is the seat of your emotions and will. Not from your mouth. It's easy to say, I forgive you. But if it's stuck here, not really in the heart, in the center of your chest, but in the seat of your emotions, if it's hung up in there, you can say anything you want from here. It won't change here. But if we can learn the secret from the heart, this where we live, our emotions, to genuinely say, I forgive. I think it's harder to say I forgive than I'm sorry. Because when you say I'm forgive, you mean you're letting go. You're not holding it. You're not going to remember it. You say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, let me tell you what. You can forget, but you got to work at it. How do you work at it? When the thought comes to your mind, automatically the emotions come about with it. Feelings follow faith. So when the thought comes into your mind, cast down every imagination. I'm not going to think that. I forgave. I let go. I'm not grabbing a hold anymore. But if you remember it and you start grabbing a hold of it, the old feelings will come back. The knot will get in your stomach. And you will look with a jaundiced eye at that person. And so from the heart simply means that you refuse to think about it. You refuse to talk about it. Listen, I'm telling you. You can... Oh, go on. I'm out of time. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6:14-15, I'm paraphrasing, if you forgive not men their trespasses, listen to this, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. He's not going to drag something out from under the blood because it's blotted out. He blotted it out. But we need forgiveness along many, many times after water baptism. We've said the wrong things. It's hard to believe, but maybe Holy Ghost filled people in a stressful moment, they let out a string of cuss words. Oh, no, not apostolics. Listen, I've been around the block, friend. I know. But that doesn't mean it's okay. It just means that we're immediately going to need forgiveness. And just imagine yourself, you've blown it, whatever it is, you know it's wrong, you blew it, whatever the circumstances were, you didn't plan it, it just happened. You didn't mean to say it, something happened and bang, it's out there, or done something. When you go to the Lord, early in my Christian walk, just short after I got the Holy Ghost, I got in the Holy Ghost and in July and went back to school in September. And I met my old friends at school. And something happened, I don't know what, but actually the old vocabulary came out and I found profanities coming out of my mouth. I was only 15 years old and it was like a knife went through my heart. And my eyes bugged open. I said out loud, "Oh God." And I remember going over behind the cafeteria and the tennis courts. There was a small space between those two. There was a chain link fence. And I remember Brother Baldonado wedging my way in between the cafeteria and the tennis court nets, which were 12, 14 feet high, the fence. And I remember standing there, tears rolling down my face. I remember saying, "Oh God, what have I done? Would you please forgive me? I'm so sorry." Because I had sworn again. And I've just got the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name, and here I am. Nobody else has had that experience, but I have. And I want to tell you, I know what the grace of God is. Immediately, the Lord forgave me, and that guilt and weight went off. What if in the next time you were in that situation, you came to God, and or I went, or maybe I'm in that, say I'm in that situation. The next time I'm in that situation, I came to God. Said, "Lord, please have mercy on me and forgive me for X, Y, Z, whatever." And the Lord said, "No, I'm not." What a fix. Because no sin's going to heaven. I just signed my ticket. I ain't going. How did I do that? Because over here, somebody asked me to forgive them, and I wouldn't do it. I had a clenched fist. I'm hanging on to that little piece of shiny metal down in that hole, and I'm trying to get it out, and the nails are gouging in my hand, and I can't get out, but I won't let go. And so Jesus taught in Matthew 6, that's the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." The lesson is found in here. Let me close with this. Try to close. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 32nd verse, Paul said this. It's a commandment. "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." The key is tender-hearted. So I looked that up in another translation, and I believe it's the NIV, says sensitive. Sensitive. So be ye sensitive, kind one another, be ye sensitive, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven thee. God is tender-hearted towards us. The Bible, David said, "Thy tender mercies, thy loving kindness." And so that is the attitude that God has towards us. He's tender-hearted towards us. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so when we approach to God with our problems, with our hurts, or whatever it is, or our mistakes, problems, besetting sins, whatever, we come to God, we know we're going to have tender mercies. We're going to have His loving kindness. Maybe it's an ongoing thing. We know that God is long-suffering. But all of that can be thrown away and beyond our reach with a clenched fist. And so what we have to do, learn to do, I'm free. I'm free. And so, in closing, anger has a shelf life. Anger will lead to bitterness. Bitterness will lead to hatred. And hatred will lead to damnation. And so, let go and let God have His wonderful way. If you know it, just stand with me and let's sing it. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Help me, Sister Jackie, you know it. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. I just know in the Holy Ghost, I make it an effort not to know. Don't feel bad at me, please. I try not to even know people's last names. I don't know anything about anybody. That's the sweetest feeling I have. But I just know the way the Lord deals with me and talks to me. Somebody's got a clenched fist. I'm not asking to say who you are. I'm just asking you right now, in the presence of the Lord, just make up your mind. I'm letting go of this, God. I'm not hanging on to this another moment. I want to be free. The knot in my stomach to go away. That awful, yucky feeling to leave my heart and mind. If you will this morning, it's God's will, it's God's way. Such a tremendous thing will fall upon you from the glory of God this morning. You can walk out of here saying, I'm free at last. I'm free at last. When I see that person again, I'll not think about it. If the thought comes to my mind, I'll rebuke it. In fact, when I think of them, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them. I tell you, let's let go and let God have His wonderful way.